Catfishing Radio, episode 34.
You finally did what you said you would and moved out west to Hollywood. I guess the city of angels needed one more. And I always thought you might trade me in for the city lights. I hope you find what you're searching for. But what's so damn grand about the California lights? You left me here in the shadows.
Hey, this is Chad Ferguson. LearnToCatchCatfish.com. You're listening to Catfishing Radio. This is Catfishing Radio, episode 34. Catfishing Radio is the podcast radio show dedicated to the sport of fishing for catfish. Whether you fish for blues, channels, or flatheads, fishing lakes, rivers, streams, or ponds, our goal is to provide you with the information that you need to be more successful on your next fishing trip. Catfish Radio is a production of LearnToCatchCatfish.com, certainly a small portion of the information that we provide on fishing for catfish. You can head over to LearnToCatchCatfish.com, check out all the great articles, videos, all the other backlog of podcasts, the other previous 33 episodes prior to this show, and a ton of other information out there in regards to the sport of fishing for catfish. And it's about all I could say. Now, everybody's been on me to get some new music. Tired of that free music that I downloaded off the internet. And finally found some stuff that's a little bit more my speed and have some more stuff coming from some other people. The introduction music there is a little band called Aces Over Eights. You can find them at acesovereightsmusic.com on the internet. Little band based out of Abilene, Texas, and I want to thank those guys, Nathan and the guys over there with Aces Over Eights, for providing that music. And I'll drop that whole song in at the end of the show there, so you can enjoy that here at the end of this episode of Catfishing Radio. The guest on today's show, I'm going to go back talking about big river fat catfish, not fat fish, but catfish, big river catfish, with today's guest, Captain Paul Willett with the Camo Fish Guide Service. Paul is a catfish guide up in Kentucky, guides for big blue catfish on and hybrid strippers, a number of other fish on the Ohio River, and fishes a huge stretch of river up there. And we're going to talk to him on this week's show and get some insight on fishing for catfish in big rivers. And a lot of great information. This is one of the better interviews that I've done on the big river fish. And really, really went well. A lot of good information in this show. But before I get into that, I want to say just a few things. First of all, I want to thank you, everybody who has gone out and completed the 2012 Learn to Catch Catfish and Catfishing Radio Survey. And if you have not done so already, head over to LearnToCatchCatfish.com. You can find the link to the 2012 survey on the front page of the website, or just go to LearnToCatchCatfish.com/survey, and you will find that information there where you can fill that out. We have had a ton of responses already. But judging from the last time we did this, it usually takes a while for all the responses to get in. That survey is how I get a better idea of who is reading the website, who's watching the videos, who's listening to the podcast, what their experience level is, whether they fish from a boat or from the bank or both, what kind of catfish they like to target, and more importantly, what kind of information they're looking for in regards to fishing for catfish and what kind of information I can put together that will be most helpful to the readers and listeners of, but also give me a better idea as to what I should help cover over the next year. What kind of information you're looking for? Because I want to put out the information that is going to be most beneficial to the most people and help them get out there and learn to catch more fish. You also have an opportunity where you can give us any kind of feedback that you would like to give there in regards to the website, regards to the videos, anything at all. If you've got feedback for us, good, bad, or indifferent, give it to us. Had a lot of feedback about the intro to the podcast and it being too long. And that's something that I've gotten from day one. And I try to make it as quick as I can, but just doing the best I can to get all the information I need to get out there. So go to learntocatchcatfish.com/survey and take a couple of minutes, fill that out, and help us out so we can better understand not only how we are doing with the information that we're putting out there now, but also what kind of information we should cover in the coming year or in the future. In addition to that, if you haven't done so already, please take just a few minutes and head over to the Catfishing Radio page on iTunes and write us a quick review and leave us a star rating there in iTunes. Doing that helps us get more visibility in iTunes and gets more people listening to the show. The more people we have listening, the more we will be able to do there with the podcast in the future. We have 120 ratings in iTunes, and I can tell you that I can see every single time somebody downloads the podcast, and I can tell you that the 120 ratings that we have on there don't even scratch the surface for the number of times that this podcast gets downloaded every time we release a new show. So please, if you can just take a couple minutes, head over there, leave that star rating, write a quick review. We would greatly appreciate it. Two more things, and then we're going to jump into the show. Going to run a sale on all the Learn to Catch Catfish information products from now until midnight on September 4th. So that's the Tuesday after Labor Day weekend. The Summer Channel Catfish Techniques Program, Spring Blue Catfish, Secret Catfish Rig, Splat Fishing, you name it. Any of those programs that we have, you can go to learntocatchcatfish.com/products, and you can find all those products there. You can use the coupon code Labor Day, LABORDAY, no spaces, no dashes, no nothing. The coupon code Labor Day will get you 15% off any of the products there on the website. This will probably be the last sale run for the year, and maybe not. Things could always change, but as of right now, this will probably be the last sale for the year. So if you're interested in any of those products and you want to help support the Learn to Catch Catfish website and the Catfish Radio podcast, because the proceeds from those products are how we continue to pay to keep all this stuff online and continue to be able to do that, head over to learntocatchcatfish.com/products, or just go to the website, look for that link on the top of the page, pick out which items you want, and then put the coupon code Labor Day in at checkout, and you'll get that 15% off any of those products except for the Jug Fishing 101 program, and it's just not set up the way that program is structured to be able to accept a coupon code. So that one is full price. But if you want to buy that Jug Fishing 101 program, email me and I will figure out a way to get that processed with the 15% discount, as long as you do that before midnight on Tuesday, September 4th. Want to thank our sponsors of the Catfish Radio Show. First of all, Brute Outdoors, bruteoutdoors.com, the ultimate 5-day cooler. You can go over there, check out all their different products. This is a product that I use on my boat every time I fish. I use it every time I hunt and just rely on this thing really, really heavily. you can use the coupon code CATCHCATFISH for $25 off any of their coolers at checkout. And they have some brand new coolers that are about to come out on the market. I just saw the other day. And 100% made in the USA. And they have a new generation cooler coming out where they've redesigned their original cooler and made some things different, changed it up a bit, made it 100% made in the USA. Great product, and we'll certainly be talking about that more in the future. Also, Team Catfish, teamcatfish.com, Sudden Impact Fiber Bait, Secret 7 Catfish Bait, the rods, hooks, fish grips, Dead Red Blood Spray, all the other products that they have over there. You can check them out, teamcatfish.com. Go over and give those guys a shout and check out all their products. So that's everything. I managed to keep that down to about 10 minutes, which is longer than I wanted it to be. But hey, what are you going to do? So with that in mind, we're going to jump into this week's interview. Going to talk to Captain Paul Willett, Camo Fish Guide Service, fishing for blue catfish up on the Ohio River in Kentucky. Again, great interview. And then I want to say that although this interview is specific to fishing in rivers, you guys that fish in lakes and reservoirs, streams and ponds, listen to what Paul's saying and listen to our conversations in this interview, because much of what is said in this interview and most of the other big river fishing interviews will apply to fishing for fish in lakes. So don't think that just because you don't fish in big rivers, you shouldn't listen, because I guarantee you can learn a lot by listening to this interview. So we'll go out, we'll talk with Paul, and I'll come back and wrap up the show. So today's guest on the Catfish Radio podcast is Captain Paul Willett, Camo Fish Guide Service. Paul's a guide up in the Ohio River area, and I'm going to let him explain a little bit more where he is and where he fishes, because I had made very poor grades in geography, so he's going to have to help us along with that. How you doing today, Paul?
Doing good. I live in Henderson, Kentucky on the Ohio River, and I guide from right up around Cannleton Dam on the Ohio River, which is, you know, downriver from Louisville, say 60, 70 miles. And then we run all the way down to Shawneetown. I have 170 miles of river that I fish, and I lie right in the middle of the area. So I can go 80 to 90 miles either direction, and I'm the first and only U.S. Coast Guard licensed charter operation on the Ohio in that area. You know, I fish for some stripers on request, you know, hybrids, and, you know, the opportunity arises like it did this past Saturday, like we were talking about. You know, I'm going to jump on the hybrids and let them catch them, and then go to catfishing. You know, if they want to. If they don't want to mess with them, I'll fish for, you know, catfish. But, generally, I fish for blue cats. Now you got blue cats down your way, you know, but they're in the lake. Everything up here is based on current. I feed off a current. There's an art to finding fish related to current in this river, any river.
Sure.
You know, just like the tactics you use in a lake, you know, you've got little tricks and things that you find fish in the lakes, but that only really works in a lake.
Yeah.
You drag in the lakes, don't you?
You know, we do some drift fishing, but not a lot. I mean, I'd a whole heck of a lot rather anchor on them and catch them that way than I would drift. But there are times where we'll drift. You know, it just kind of depends. Depends a lot on what the fish are doing. You know, if we can't find them stacked up, then we'll drift if we have to.
Very, very seldomly will you find me sitting still if the water temperature is over 60 degrees. There's times that I'll park below a dam and I'll throw a bait, but that bait's still moving.
Sure.
you know, if you think about current and how a catfish feeds in the river, naturally the natural presentation is the bait is coming to that fish.
Sure.
It is naturally flowing down the river. If it's injured and it's, you know, it's something that fish can eat, he's going to go after, it's most of the time it's going to be coming to him.
Yeah.
You know, and those fish move up below dams to feed on fish that are injured coming out, coming through the gates. They're disoriented. They're, you know, there's something wrong with them. You know, they're beat up from the dam, and then they're just sitting there gorging on them. But, you know, a lot of people don't realize it, but, you know, these dams on the river, the catfish don't know there's a dam there.
Yeah.
You know, they don't know what that is. They just know there's food there, you know, so they'll move up there to feed. You know, I think about how I fish below the dams and catch fish, and I use those same tactics down the river away from that dam. It may make sense to some of these river fishermen once they get out here. You know, I throw a bait at the gate, you know, and let it walk back to me in the current and, mm-hmm. And smoke them like that. Well, I started doing that elsewhere on the river. And, you know, in relation to structure, throwing a bait up over top of structure and bringing it back to me, you know, and that's how that bait is naturally presented to the fish. And I find that technique really works. But most of the time I'm drift fishing. We drift anywhere from 6 to 8 rods at a time. Sometimes I'll have 2 baits on every rod, you know, so I've got a 24-foot sea arc. I turn the boat sideways in the current or mm-hmm. straight in the current. And, there's times that it requires a 16-ounce sinker to hold the bait straight down, drifting down the river.
Sure.
You know, that's hard to imagine, you know, having a pound sinker to hold a bait down. But the idea is you don't want your bait swinging up in the current. You
yeah.
want it under control the whole time.
Sure.
You know how that is. The boat swinging around and lines getting crossed and up under the boat. And
yeah.
You get in a mess in a hurry.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, that's Murphy's Law. When you hook a 50, 60-pound blue cat, he's going to go left or right, whichever way he can go with the most rods in the way.
Yeah. I a lot of times I don't even worry about them whenever they do that. I just bring the fish in and worry about the mess after
yeah.
he's in the boat.
Yeah, that's what a good pair of scissors is for, huh?
That's the thing to do. Yeah, I'll give up 4 hooks and 3 sinkers for big fish in a minute.
Sure. So let's talk, Paul, about what kind of gear you're using, what kind of rigging you're using in the river, just
right.
kind of a real brief overview.
A basic rig for me, starting at the rod, I use a 7.5-foot medium heavy tangling with catfish rod. It's got stainless guides on it, which I use all braid. I use 80-pound braided line. I use Tidewater level line reels. It's a very simple one-bearing reel. I find that these reels that are high speed, that have a bunch of bearings when sand and slime gets in them and it dries overnight, it's like sandpaper. And as soon as you turn the handle, they just go downhill from there. So simple reels work better for catfishing than any high-priced reel any day. Sorry. I mean, it just works better. I went through too many $150 reels to find that a $40 Shakespeare reel will last longer.
Sure. And that Tidewater is comparable in size to a Garcia 7000, isn't it?
Line capacity, yes.
Okay.
Yes. Line capacity, I'd say that's right on. But you know, you're talking apples to oranges.
Yeah.
You know, it's... as far as price, you know,
sure.
you're looking at 120 versus 50.
Sure.
And then I use anywhere from 2-aught barrel swivels to 3, you know, 2-aught 3-way swivels. And then on my leader, I go to monofilament for a shock leader. I use a kind of a high stretch 60-pound monofilament, and then anywhere from 8 to 12-aught circle hooks. And I, like you, I think you use Mustad circle hooks as well, don't you? Or do you use Kale hooks?
I use the Daiichi circle chunk light. I've used the Mustad some in the past. I've used the Team Catfish hooks, you know, Kale hooks, you name it. And I'd prefer to fish with a Kale hook because I still like to set the hook.
Right. That's the difference, you know, here in the river. Most of the time you're dealing with current.
Yeah.
And when a fish hits it, a lot of times he hits it and he comes up in the water column, and he's going to be moving faster in the current than the boat. So just the weight of the fish alone will load the rod up.
Yeah.
In the current. And when he loads that rod up, you know, his reaction is to shut that mouth and go the other way.
Sure.
When he closes his mouth and goes the other way, that circle hook finds its home.
Yeah.
You know, which is right in the corner of the mouth. And he's put so much pressure by then on the rod that the customer, all they have to do is dig the rod out of the holder and start cranking. You know, if they set the hook, a lot of times they'll just pull it right out. You know,
No, absolutely. That's why I use circle hooks on all my guide trips.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I won't have anything but circle hooks. You know, it makes it easy.
The problem we have here is, you know, we do a lot of shallow water fishing,
right.
You know, all year round. And, you know, you get up in shallow water, at times that can be problematic because, you know, as you know, you pin a big blue cat up in shallow water, he's going to go towards deeper water.
He's gonna run like crazy. Exactly right.
And that can be problematic with the circle hook sometimes. Most of the time it's not a problem, but, you know, we just kind of, whatever
you almost,
works.
You almost have to just let him go and say, all right, he hit it. All right, let him go until he pulls on it.
Yeah.
And he might swim 50 yards before he loads the rod up.
Sure.
You know, but you're in a better position doing that than, you know, not knowing if he's got it or not.
Yeah.
And then having him start cranking and the fish drop the bait, you know.
Yeah.
So, you and I know how to reel down on a fish slowly until we feel him swimming with it and ease the hook in him.
Yeah.
But, you know, somebody at its beginning, you know, to try to explain that bite to them, it's a little different. You know, so the thing to do is to reel into the fish. What I tell them is start reeling until you feel something heavy. And you feel something heavy, reel faster.
Sure, yeah.
You know, and then when you feel something heavy, you know, just pull up like you're trying to lift something heavy off the bottom, you know. And usually that's when the rod will load up.
Sure.
What kind of bait do you use down there?
Shad, yeah, pretty much. You know, shad for blue cat, and you know, just prepared bait for channel cat. And you know, every once in a while, I'll use a little bit of carp or drum or buffalo or something like that.
Right.
But you know, I'd say probably 99% of the time, it's shad.
I have three baits: shad, moon eye, and skipjack. Nothing but there's no other.
Sure.
Now, I've got 50 variations of cutting those baits.
Yeah.
You know, and it's still just as simple as hook, line, and sinker for catfishing. You know, that's all there is. But there is just so many ways to rig a bait. You know, it's just endless. And what amazes me is somebody comes up with something new and that works well every year on how to do it.
Yeah.
You know, on how to hook it or how to cut it, or you know, a new technique or something, but it's all variations of hook, line, and sinker.
Sure. So what you talked about using barrel swivels and three-way swivels. So I'm assuming you use a three-way rig and a slip sinker rig.
Well, I'll tell you what I use a lot. I pre-rig a lot of my stuff, and I use a dropper loop.
Mm-hmm.
With about a 4-inch dropper to my first hook. And then about 2 feet below it, I tie on that same leader another dropper loop with another circle hook. I'm using, you know, basically two hooks per rod.
Sure.
Two big baits per line. And then on the bottom, I put a surgeon loop, a kind of large surgeon loop, so I can change my sinker in and on and out without having to retie it.
Yeah.
So what you basically do is slip that, you slip that loop through the eye and drop the sinker back through.
Sure.
And if you want to go up or down in sinker, you can do it without having to tie another one on.
Sure.
But, generally, I tie on the bottom of that line a little bit wider leader, too. So if that sinker gets hung up on the bottom, you can pull it. It'll sacrifice the sinker real quick. Without losing the fish. That rig is hard to throw. It's a really good drifting rig. And it also keeps the sinker in contact with the bottom the whole time. So, when you tell them, all right, leave it in the rod holder and drop it down until the sinker hits the bottom and give it a couple cranks, it's real simple for them. They can feel that big weight hit the bottom, And we might be fishing 50 foot of water, I primarily fish 30 to 50 foot of water.
Sure. And that's all year round.
Year round, yeah.
It's not having that thermocline.
No, I understand.
That adds a whole new level of complication to things.
Yeah, I fish Barkley in Kentucky even a little bit too. When the river here through the winter is just way too high and it's out in the field, I'll go to Barkley and fish in the winter. It's not but an hour and a half for me.
Sure.
So. There's some tremendous blue cat fishing down there, and there's really no other catfisher but guys down there. So,
sure.
Those fish are new to what I do.
Yeah, that makes it nice.
We had some pretty good days down there in February this year. Those fish, a lot of people don't realize that Barkley is nothing but a flooded river. You lose sight of, there's a river channel, but basically all it is it's flooded. And I learned a lot by that going down there and bringing the techniques I fished down there back to the Ohio. And I started fishing when the water was high again.
Yeah.
Those fish stay out there in that river when it's flooded. Timber and stuff rolling down the river. And you can get out in the middle of that thing and catch those fish in 4 to 5 mile an hour current drifting down the river at two mile an hour. It's just unheard. It doesn't make sense, but that's how they eat all the time.
Sure.
That's just how they feed anyway. They're used to that bait coming down the river and going to get it.
Yeah. So how does that work, Paul, with, I know here, like I said, the drift fishing that we do, in the lakes, the fish won't chase a bait. So how does that work when you're drifting in current, in a heavy current? Are you moving a mile and a half an hour?
My rule of thumb is half the speed of the current. If you're in the boat and you look at your depth finder and say your GPS on your depth finder is, you're reading a mile per hour on it, and it shows that you're drifting freely with the aid of nothing, at two mile an hour down the river.
Sure.
What I do is I take my trolling motor, I put it down, it's got a remote on it, and I slow the boat down to 1 mile an hour, which is half the speed of the current, and that is, rule of thumb to me to start at, to try to drift, and I just slow the boat down, and that's a controlled drift is what it is.
Sure. So you're running, you said you're running as many as 8 rods. And
yeah.
So I'm having a hard time getting my hands around this because like I told you earlier, I am by no means a big river fisherman. And I've talked to the guys about holding the rod and the controlled drift and doing that.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, like this Saturday, I know that the drift bite is going well, and I've got a spot that I can put a rod in all of them's hands. I got 4 going, and then myself.
Yeah.
So instead of putting those rods in the rod holder, I'll put a rod in everybody's hands and show them how to pump.
Sure.
And what they'll do is they'll drop that sinker to the bottom, and I'll show them to pick it up real slow up off the bottom. And all they're doing, you know, a man told me once, and he's going to hear this and laugh because he knows, a catfish doesn't have a neck.
Yeah.
You know?
That's right.
That thing's jerking up and down. They can't reach out and get it. They got to swim to it.
Yeah.
You know, so what you got to picture is lifting that bait up real slow up off the bottom. I mean slowly, not jerk it up. And then, you know, bumping, you think bumping. You know, you're bumping the bottom.
Yeah.
Jerking it up and bumping. Well, what you want to do is it ought to be called checking, because that's all you're doing is checking the bottom.
Sure.
You're picking it up and drifting down the river, and you want to hold it just up off the bottom. Well, you know as well as I do, when in the waves and the wind and the current, the rod in a rod holder is going up and down.
Yeah.
And the whole time that bait's going up and down with the rod holder in the boat.
Sure.
Well, if you hold it in your hand, you can hold that steadier. Well, the boat's going up and down, but you can hold it steady.
Sure.
So the whole time that thing is on the same level going down the river.
Yeah.
You hold it steady, and every now and then let out a little line and touch that bottom. Just kiss the bottom of that sinker, pick it up a little bit.
Yeah.
And that keeps you in the strike zone a whole lot longer.
Sure.
And you'll feel bites that you won't see or catch in that rod holder, too. There'll be fish hit it, and you can give them line or, you know, drop the rod a little bit and let them pull, and then come up on them. And there's just a whole lot more options to that.
Sure.
And drifting too, a lot of the fish will come up. They're like, you know, on television, you see those great whites. You shoot up out of the water.
Sure.
If you can picture a blue cat on the bottom, you know, and that bait's up over his head, and it's going over, and he smells it, and he comes up and gets it, he's going to knock slack in your line.
Yeah.
When he hits it. You've seen that.
Yeah.
And when they knock slack in your line, the thing to do, when they hit it, I say, if it feels like something, just cut your line, there's nothing there, wear the gears out on the reel. Just start cranking. Reel as fast as you can until you feel something heavy and keep reeling. And then the rod will load up, because that's what it's done. He's came up, and his momentum has carried him up, and he's got the bait in his mouth, and he's crushing it, and he's taking it in. So by the time you reel down on him, you got him. But if you let him turn to go back down, a lot of times that sinker will go thump. And when that sinker hits the, you know, goes back tight, he feels it and spits the bait out.
Sure.
So if you get him when his momentum's going up into the, you know, coming up to get that drifting bait, you're more likely to get him. So, therefore, holding that rod, you'll catch more fish.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's an interesting theory. And like I said, I've seen it done a lot, and, you know, seen it, people talking about it, something that I've just never done.
Right.
You know, because our drift fishing here is, you know, generally what we do is we go out and mark fish on some sort of structure. And, you know, with pods of bait fish around them, and, you know, make short drifts, and drag through them. And, you know,
sure.
I kind of got interested in it this year, and I swore up and down this winter, that I was going to go out and take a couple of days and was going to just go on my own and try it and see how it worked in a lake. And,
it worked really well and never did it. A lot of these channel cat lakes up here, they have figured out how to drag, and all of your tournaments up here are being won by guys dragging, and you see them, that's all they're doing. They'll use a three-way with a pencil sinker to, you know, a short leader to a pencil sinker, half an ounce to an ounce, sometimes 2 ounces depending on the wind, and then they'll put a long leader onto a circle hook, and then right above that hook they'll put a little crappie bobber to float that bait up off the bottom.
Yeah.
And they'll drag along, you know, sometimes they'll throw it bait 200 feet out behind the boat.
Yeah.
And it'll just slinky along right up over top of these trees, and when it comes over top of them, those big channel cats will wear it out.
Yeah.
And, you know, those channels, they can really put up the battle, too.
Yeah, yeah.
They're it's a shame they don't get 50 pounds because they'd be the meanest fish in the river.
Well, yeah, you know, and I tell you, I was talking to, actually this morning, talking to Brad Durick up on the Rogue River. And,
he's got them up there, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, it just, I told him several times when I was on the phone with him that I just, I mean, it's just baffling to me.
You know, 20 pound channel cash.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we can go here and we can sling punch bait and little pieces of cut shad all day long. And it's nothing to go out and catch 150 fish. But
right.
You catch something over about 3 pounds,
you've really done something.
And, you know, I told him this morning, I mean, I've caught one big channel cat in my life that was over 10 pounds. And, I mean, it's just – it's amazing the numbers that are up there. And I told him this morning, one of these days I'm going to figure out a way to get an RV or something and just kind of do a catfish tour across the country.
We've got a bunch that are the 5 to 8 pound range here.
Yeah.
I mean, a bunch of them, which are good channel cats. Don't get me wrong.
Sure.
You know, and you can fish laydowns up here with dip bait. Now, you know, it's not that I don't, you know, like it, but it, you know, we've just got blue cats here that want big bait, and that's what I fish with.
Sure.
But if I were to want to catch fish to eat and want to switch up one day, I would go out and fish timber in, you know, 5 to 10 feet of water, and every tree and lay down I come to, I throw some shad guts and cut shad and some dip bait you use at Lucky Number 7 or
Secret 7, yeah.
Secret 7, there you go. That's perfect for that, you know.
Sure.
And you can catch those 1 to 5 pound channel catfish just all day.
Sure.
In every condition, winter, spring, summer, fall, it doesn't matter. I mean, it works year round for channel cats.
Sure. So, Paul, if you had some advice for a guy that's out there, that's, you know, on a big river. Or close to one, and he's just kind of getting started and just kind of trying to learn how to pattern fish and get out there and catch them. You know, outside of you can't catch them from home, you just have to get out there and try.
Right.
You know, what would you tell a guy like that that's trying to learn?
Well, you know, the big thing to me is no matter how hard I work at it, I have found that fresh bait is the key.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter what kind of bait it is, I'm talking bluegill, shad, skipjack, moon eye, carp, it doesn't matter. As long as it's fresh in the rivers, fresh blood will always work better in every situation.
Yeah.
There's times that I like frozen bait. You know, there's times of year it works well. In hot water it works well because it's like a bouillon cube. You know, it's frozen and it everything comes out slower than what it does if it's fresh, and then it just leaches right out in the hot water.
Mm-hmm.
But fresh bait every time, all the time. So, you know, these guys show up and they wonder why they're not catching fish. It's like they've got some old frozen garbage they've had in their freezer for months. And, you know, and it comes out and it's rotten. Well, catfish, you know, in these rivers, they really don't like a lot of rotten stuff.
Yeah.
They want fresh bait, too. Even channel cats like fresh bait. You know,
yeah.
Don't get me wrong, a channel cat will eat something a blue and a flathead won't.
Sure.
Most of the time. But in almost every situation in the river, fresh bait will work better. So that is number one. Number two, there again, like I said earlier, it's just variations of hook, line, and sinker. So a simple Carolina rig, you know, swivel, egg sinker, leader, and a hook, you know, that's as easy as it gets. And it works as good as it did 50 years ago, you know, and it will always work for catfish.
Sure.
A three-way rig, you know, drifting. Works well. And then equipment. You know, you need to look at getting something that's stable, you know, that's going to hold a big fish. You know, don't don't go out there with something that's subpar, you know, that a sure. fish is going to, if you want to catch a big fish, don't go out there with a Snoopy pole, in other words.
Yeah.
You know, that he's going to strip the gears out of.
Yeah.
Get something that's going to hold a lot of line, put good line on it. You know, I use Power Pro braid. Whenever I use monofilament, I use Berkley Big Game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are just two good staple lines. 2-aught swivels, circle hooks and Kales, either one.
Sure.
Any other little things that you might want to throw in there that you use that might help some guys out? Any questions?
You know, there's so many, I could probably keep you on the phone for hours.
I know.
It's like I said, it's fascinating to me because, you know, there's a lot of things that are the same, but, you know,
they're so different. Yeah.
Just so different. And it just kind of makes you think, you know, well, when the weather does this, what do they do? And when the water
right.
does this, what do they do? And, you know, cause I know there's just so many variables out there that when I get on the water and I say, okay, you know, the wind's doing this and we, you know, the water temperature's doing this and we just had an inch of rain and, you know, all those things start going on through my head as to where I'm going to go to find fish. And, you know,
generally I fish faster before a front and I slow down after.
Sure.
You know, whenever I told you I fished half the speed of the current, I'll do that, before a front and after a front. Sometimes I get right on top of them and I barely move the boat, you know, and let them look at it a whole lot longer because
yeah.
the cold current will slow them down.
Sure. Well, it makes sense. And, you know, I guess really with the, you know, what you're talking about with drifting with the current is, you know, all things being relative and letting the wind blow you across a lake, it's probably
yeah.
the same theory, you know.
Sure.
Keep the boat slow. You go slower in the winter. You can go warmer in the summer, you know, at least down here. And then you just kind of let the fish tell you what they want and figure it out from there.
The guys that are, you know, showing up to fish the river, they look at it and they go, what in the world am I going to do with this? Where? How do I know where to go?
Yeah.
Well, another thing is a good key if you don't know the river. Look for your channel markers out there. You know,
mm-hmm.
your red and your green buoys. They're marking the ledges. They're
yeah.
marking the channel. A lot of people get confused on what that ledge is. Ledges are the channel. And those marker buoys out there are a pretty good depiction of where that channel ledge is. So if you follow those buoys, you know, they'll tell you a pretty good place to fish.
Sure.
And, you know, if you find timber that's hung up on those ledges down through there, that's ideal. Especially out in the middle of nothing, you know, you're going down a 30-foot flat, you know, and there's you know, a slight little ridge on the ledge there, and you find an old tree laying there out in the middle of nothing. Boy, that's where you find the big fish. You know, and whenever you look at that current or look at that surface, and it looks like it's blowing up, you know, boiling up on the surface.
Uh-huh.
That current is deflecting off of something. There's times I'll be running down the river and I'll see something on the surface that just looks choppy that I never noticed before. And I'll get in there and I'll turn my depth finder on and I'll see something on the bottom that current is hitting and deflecting to the surface.
Huh.
And you know, that's how I find a lot of places to fish.
Yeah.
You know, if you're out there on the river and you see something, it looks like a boil or, you know, looks different than the last mile of river you saw, it's like something looks different on the surface there. What is that?
Yeah.
Well, what it's doing, it's hitting something on the bottom and deflecting to the top. So those will tell you where structure is at. You can look at the current and tell where to fish by reading the surface. I mean, it sounds hard, but it actually, you get out here on the river and get to looking and it'll show up to you. It'll become clear to you.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. You know, I'll tell you how different worlds we come from.
Because,
if you're running down a river here and you see something like that, it means you're fixing to spend the next 2 hours pushing your boat off of a sandbar.
That's right.
So, that's some good information.
Yeah. Well, it's been good talking to you, Chad.
Well, it's been great talking to you too, Paul, and I really appreciate you taking the time today. And again, just some great information. I know your website is Camo Fish Guide Service. That's CAMO, like camouflage clothing, camofishguideservice.com. Yeah. And I'm assuming you probably got a Facebook page floating around out there as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's just Paul Willett.
If guys want to give you a call and come up there and fish with you, or over there or down there or wherever they are, how do they get a hold of you?
My number is 270-748-6077. You can go on Facebook, friend me on there, send me a message. And I've also got a registration on my website. You can go on there and send me a message on there as well.
Okay. And I'll put all this stuff in the show notes so you can go to the website, go to learntocatchcatfish.com, and just find the show notes for this show, and we'll have Paul's website and phone number and just a real quick summary of everything that we talked about here on this week's show as well. And, Paul, again, I thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. And, when things really get fired up there and you're having some great fishing, feel free to come over and post some pictures on the Facebook page and just kind of share what's going on with everybody and, give guys some opportunity to know what's going on so they come up there and catch some of these big cats with you, okay?
All right, thank you.
All right, man.
So, again, that was Captain Paul Willett with Camo Fish Guide Service, and I just want to thank Paul again for taking the time to come on the Catfishing Radio show this week and share that information with him. You can, again, check him out at camofishguideservice.com or just go to Learn to Catch Catfish. Find the show notes for episode 34, and we'll have a link there with where you can access Paul's website and his Facebook page. Again, make sure you head over to learntocatchcatfish.com. Fill out that listener survey and the Catfishing Radio Learn to Catch Catfish survey so we can get a better understanding how we're doing and what we need to be covering here over the next year. You can go to learntocatchcatfish.com/products and find all the other products that we have over there, the Summer Channel Catfish Technique, Spring Blue Catfish, Jug Fishing 101, all those products over there. Use the coupon code Labor Day, LABORDAY, all one word, no spaces, no dashes, Labor Day, for 15% off any of the products there on the Learn to Catch Catfish website. Last but not least, want to thank again Brute Outdoors for being a sponsor of the Catfishing Radio show. You can check them out at bruteoutdoors.com. And Team Catfish, you can find at teamcatfish.com. Also want to thank one last time Aces Over Eights, the band, for providing them a bunch of new songs for the podcast. And before I go, I'm going to drop in song play thing in its entirety here so you can enjoy that while you're wrapping up the podcast and you're thinking about going out and catching that big catfish or those huge numbers of catfish or whatever you want to do. So we'll see you next week. Tight lines, screaming clickers, learntocatchcatfish.com.
Finally did what you said you would and moved out west to Hollywood. I guess the city of angels needed one more. And I always thought you might trade me in for the city lights. I hope you find what you're searching for. What's so damn grand about the California lights? You left me here in the shadows, holding back on the range of time. bottle trying to figure out who in the hell I am. Playing Russian roulette, a single shotgun. I'm chasing down a midnight sun. I'm searching for the answers I can't find. When I'm the furthest thing from a mind. Dreams come true. Are you just another trophy to hang on the wall? And is he there to hold you tight, or do the diamonds and gold and blind your sight? Is he there to pick you up when you fall? Yeah, my dreams turn to nightmares in the blink of an eye. Our memories got washed away in the California tide. You might find me a rundown bar in Amsterdam, getting lost in a bottle trying to figure out who in the hell I am. Playing Russian roulette, single shotgun. I'm chasing down a midnight song. I'm searching for the answers I can't find. When I'm the furthest thing from her mind. You might find me town bar in Amsterdam, getting lost in a bottle trying to figure out who in the hell I am. Playing Russian roulette, a single shotgun. I'm chasing down a midnight sun, searching for the answers I can't find. When I'm the furthest thing from your mind. From your mind.